welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Hi, and welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, your place for free, expert tennis instruction that can truly help you improve your game. Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by TennisExpress.com and TennisTours.com. Thank you very much for joining me on today's episode. I've got a very special guest on with me to talk about tennis strategy. That's a good conversation. And I'm going to go ahead and get right to it. Sit back, relax, and get ready for some great tennis instruction. My guest today on the Essential Tennis Podcast is co-founder of FuzzyYellowBalls.com, Will Hamilton. Will, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, Ian. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Well, it's great to have you back on the show. I think this is, your third or fourth time back on the podcast, and I want to thank you very much for spending your time with me and talking about tennis.
Yeah, it's somewhere in there. I think three is my off the top of my head. But yeah, really happy to be back. Always enjoy doing this.
So let's talk a little bit about tennis instruction. And before we do that, I know that you just had a really fun trip. I'm really jealous, by the way. I don't want to hear too much about it. But I want to hear a little bit about your trip out to Indian Wells to film some of the BNP Paribas Open. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, I mean, that trip is incredible. Anybody, any of your listeners, if you've never gone, you absolutely have to go. I mean, I would, you know, almost make the argument that it's a more fan-friendly tournament than the U.S. Open or basically any other tournament I've been to. It's just It's just sort of unreal how beautiful the scenery is, how fantastic the facilities are. And people have, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have seen some of our YouTube videos with the footage we shot out there. As credentialed media, we can get right up on the fence and shoot footage of Federer, Nadal, Sharapova, Wozniacki, and so on. It's just fantastic also from the sort of the coaching perspective. So yeah, if you've never been, you got to pencil it in. In maybe next year or the year after, but it's an interesting tournament to be media at, because the access is pretty crazy, not just in terms of the ability to get right on the court, but the kind of cool thing. I'm trying not to make you too jealous here, Ian, but the really cool thing is that the player and the media cafeteria is the same.
Wow.
So you'll go in there and, like, for example, I was ordering, I can't remember what I was ordering, but I was standing next to Federer in line.
Sweet.
Yeah, he was right next to me, and I was kind of like eyeing, what is he eating, you know, trying to get some, like, you know, behind the scenes kind of look at that. He was ordering pasta, by the way.
Good choice.
He's a bigger guy than people. I think that he's listed at 6'1". I mean, I think he's pushing 6'3" almost.
Really?
Yeah, he's bigger in person than he looks on television, but it's just interesting to see sort of that behind the scenes stuff. The one thing that's kind of funny about that cafeteria is you would expect all the food to be like all this very
healthy.
Yeah, healthy, like quote unquote athlete food. But they've got like ice cream in there and
nice sodas.
And yeah, I was like, I don't know if you should be eating this before a match, but I think most players are pretty good about.
So from, that. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying most players are probably pretty good in terms of their diet.
You and Adam, on the other hand.
You know, that was not as, we didn't police ourselves maybe as well as we should have. The other actually interesting thing is that you go out, you know, Indian Wells is not that big of a place. So there's a couple kind of hot restaurants, and we walked into this one sushi place, and I literally walked through the door, and staring back at me is Novak Djokovic, who was just sitting in the booth right by the door with his entourage. And the funny thing was, those guys definitely knew who we were because we'd been right up on the court with our red one a couple times. So there was kind of like that, you know, that like knowing glance you kind of get sometimes, and then we just, you know, you don't want to bother those guys. So we went and sat down. But it's that's sort of one of the other cool things about going to the tournament is if you go out on the town afterwards and you hit some of the restaurants that are just sort of generally recommended by the folks who are out there, there's a good chance you'll run into these players. That Japanese restaurant actually was Djokovic. There was some German players in the booth next to us at the bar, sitting by himself drinking a diet Sprite of all things, was Jürgen Meltzer. And then later on, Dinara Safina walks in. So it was kind of just, it was like the player cafeteria just moved to this restaurant downtown. It was kind of surprising, to be honest.
I hate you, Will.
You can come next year, man. You gotta make it out.
Yeah. Definitely want to. So from an instructor's standpoint, and obviously Fuzziola Balls is best known for their ridiculous video quality and breaking down the strokes of the pros, etc. So all of this access and kind of close quarters to the pros, both on the court and off the court, how does that help you at all get a better, an even better sense than what you've had previously as far as what the pros are doing that make them so special and make them that high quality of a player?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the thing you really see, and unfortunately the thing that doesn't come through our videos as much because they're very technique oriented, mm-hmm. In terms of how the players are swinging the rackets. When these guys go out for these practice sessions, particularly once the tournament gets started and they know who they're playing, the practices are very much focused on the type of opponent they're going to face. I remember this wasn't this past Indian Wells, but previous year, Federer was facing Karlovic in I'm not sure what round it was, but his entire practice session was his hitting partner just standing up at the service line, just blasting serves at him, so Federer could kind of find the range and get his return down. So it's very interesting because it's very focused on the types of shots and the types of patterns in terms of point construction that are going to be necessary for the opponent they're going to face in the next round. So it's very, they're very deliberate and very thoughtful about how they go about their practice sessions, which I don't think you typically just are maybe as aware of. You don't really think about that most of the time. So that was, from an instructor standpoint, that was is very cool, and obviously fans can watch these guys at Indian Wells because the practice courts are so well laid out. Watch them, do this kind of stuff during their practice sessions. The other good thing from an instructor standpoint is there's a lot of very well-known coaches that come to this tournament to film for their particular websites or whatever projects they might be working on. So, for example, you had Vic Braden out there this year, and I was lucky enough to spend some time talking with Vic and his lovely wife Melody about technique. And what Vic is doing is he has cameras actually on center court, and they basically have multiple cameras that they link and film three-dimensional. The images are then used to construct three-dimensional models of all the players. So they can measure, for example, how much extension Federer gets when he hits a forehand. And Vic was telling me it was over 4 feet. I can't remember the exact length of his follow-through, but it was a very long follow-through. I think Del Potro was another guy with a very long follow-through. So that's another, from an instructor standpoint, another really cool thing about this tournament is there's a lot of very smart tennis coaches out there. So you can learn a lot kind of just by hanging out in the media room and talking to whoever comes through the door.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, now let's switch gears and talk about a specific application that you have used those videos for, and that is a free course that you just released a couple of days ago. And Will and I are having this conversation on Sunday night, the 20th. You're kind of right in the middle of this course at the moment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So tell us a little bit about what footage that you used from Indian Wells and exactly what you're trying to accomplish in this free video course that you just released.
Well, yeah, the free video course is called Tennis Ninja, and we went with ninja. The whole course focuses on strategy. So a ninja, you know, is a very strategic, kind of calculated warrior. So we thought that was appropriate.
Nice.
So yeah. So one of the things we did when we went out to Indian Wells was we focused, like I said earlier, on the kind of watching these guys and how they go about not only with their practice sessions, but just how they construct points during a match. Mm-hmm. Because the footage we shoot at Indian Wells, when we upload that stuff to YouTube, like I said before, it's very focused on technique. We have videos of, you know, all the I'm not sure how many views that Indian Wells footage has gotten, but it's millions and millions of video plays at this point. And there's a video I filmed a couple of years ago where I just look at how Federer holds the tennis racket, literally what grip is he using on his forehand.
Right.
And that thing is at 900,000 plays. So most of the stuff we upload and the most popular stuff is focused on technique. And really, you know, Ian, you obviously know this, players, the top pros are that good, not only because they obviously swing the racket beautifully, but it's really the strategy that sets these guys apart. I mean, they know how to zero in on their opponent's weaknesses. They know how to construct points in a way that allows them to attack their opponent's weaknesses, mask their own weaknesses, play to their strengths, and so on. It's very much a part of the game that typically is kind of brushed over. And again, just based on the YouTube stats, that's sort of, you know, evidence to that fact. But it's unbelievably necessary, obviously, at the pro level, and it's something that, because most rec players kind of gloss over it, if you focus on that a little bit, it actually is going to have huge positive impact on your game.
So that's why. No, sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying. So that's why this Tennis Ninja, these free training videos, is just focused entirely on strategy, because it's kind of that weapon that's hidden in plain sight, so to speak, that most rec players rarely take advantage of to the fullest.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about exactly, tell my listeners a little bit about exactly what they're going to learn when they sign up for this free course.
Well, there's four videos in this free training. We just released the third one today. The next one comes out on Tuesday. And the first one is essentially, it focuses on the strategic foundation. And that's kind of the I'm trying to think of the right word, like the stuff that doesn't change, the truths, mm-hmm, about strategy, such as, you know, for example, the dimensions of the court aren't going to change, but because the tennis court is a rectangle, that is going to, you know, affect how you can play, you know, the shots you can hit based on where you are on the court. So it basically boils down to directionals, which is Paul Wardlaw's his terminology for, mm-hmm, high percentage, low percentage shots. Actually, interestingly, Wardlaw, I think it was Wardlaw, jumped in on the comments on that video.
Oh, yeah?
Just to say, like, kind of, hey, what's up? Good to see that you're spreading the word about directionals.
Awesome.
You know, I'm pretty sure it's him. The guy that left the comment was very knowledgeable, but obviously there's no, verification.
Yeah.
So there's directionals, there's court geometry, which is, again, you know, the court's a rectangle. Court positioning, because where you stand on the court, both in terms of your lateral positioning and your vertical positioning, is going to change based on where your opponent's hitting the ball. So that's the strategic foundation. Then we focus on something also in the first video called SWOT, which stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And that is our explanation for how you evaluate what you're good at and what you're weak at, and how you evaluate what your opponent is good at and bad at. And then based on that, that's going to create a matchup. And sort of the important concept there is, most rec players say, I'd like to hit my forehand. And that's sort of what they, you know, their game plan is, trying to hit forehands. Mm-hmm. But if you get into a forehand-to-forehand rally with your opponent, and your opponent actually has a better forehand than you, then it doesn't make any sense to do that, right? So
sure,
it might make more sense to get into a backhand-to-backhand rally, even if that's not what you typically like to do. Well, if that's going to be a winning proposition, that's absolutely the strategy the approach you should take. So we really focus with SWOT on the matchup that results from that analysis, because it's something you typically don't see, but it's so key to playing winning tennis. So that's video number one. Video number two is called Defense Neutral Offense, DNO for short. And that is a term we came up with to essentially talk about what the strategies and tactics the pros are using, and then teach everybody how they can apply the same strategies and tactics to their game. And sort of the core, there's a couple core pieces of DNO. The first is you can be in three states, on defense, in a neutral rally, or on offense. And based on that evaluation, then you have sort of this tactical toolbox that you can apply to sort of work the point. You know, if you're on defense, you have a certain number of tactics to neutralize the rally. Once you're in a neutral rally, there's a certain number of tactics you can use to go on offense. And, you know, the tactics you use are going to depend on who you are as a player. Somebody like Roger Federer loves to hit inside-out forehands, run around his backhand, hit forehands to go on offense, to turn a neutral backhand rally into an offensive situation. Somebody like Davidenko likes to stand up on the baseline and go corner to corner, not focused as much on hitting that inside-out forehand, but likes to move his opponent from side to side as sort of his way to gain control and be on offense. So we talk about some of the strategies and tactics you can use to you know, apply those same tactics the pros are using, and how you can do it, you know, based on your style of play. And then finally, we throw in a tactic you can use to beat a pusher, because that is, you know, the very common opponent that thwarts a lot of rec players.
Those dirty pushers.
I know they are really irritating. I used to hate playing them when I was in juniors. But you know, the thing about the pusher is, once you kind of know how to attack that player and you've done that SWOT analysis and realize what they can and cannot do, then they're actually not the most difficult opponent to beat, if you just know how to approach it. I mean, that kind of comes back to the whole core of this series, is just simply by thinking about strategy a little bit, you'll improve significantly without actually having to swing the racket. Because it's just a matter of understanding. So, were you going to jump in?
Keep going. Okay. You're on a roll. Keep going.
All right. Yeah. Feel free to cut me off. And the third video is Think Differently, and that basically talks about how a tennis match is a troubleshooting exercise. We say this in the video. There was a German general in the 1800s called Helmut von Moltke. I might be pronouncing that right. I'm notorious for mispronouncing names. who basically said that no battle plan survives first encounter with the enemy. And most rec players come into a match and they say, this is my game plan. It's plan A. And if it works, they win. And if it doesn't, they don't win. But there's not really any adjustments Mm-hmm. that go on over the course of the match.
Sure.
And
yeah.
You look at the pros, they're constantly adjusting. Something not working, they change up, you know, their tactic a little bit, because they need to, you know, this is not working. I'm going to lose if I keep following this tactic. So I need to try something a little bit different. And you actually saw a little bit of, did you watch Federer versus Djokovic in the semis?
No, unfortunately, I missed that match.
You missed it? Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. Federer lost that match, but in the second set, which he won, he made a nice adjustment where Federer, it was actually very similar to the Aussie Open match they played. Federer came out kind of swinging, real aggressive. Djokovic was playing really great defense, so Federer was making a lot of errors. Mm-hmm. So Federer kind of dialed it back a little bit, put a little bit more air under his backhand in particular, a lot more kind of heavy topspin balls and some slices, more variety, and was just a little bit more patient, and allowed him to win the second set, and actually was about to go up in the third, and then he kind of he lost his concentration, and actually that kind of segues into to round up the third video. It's basically, how do you make these adjustments, just like the pros do.
Sure.
And then the fourth video is how do you compete like the pros? How do you stay mentally tough? What are some, you know, I think a lot of, I don't know if this is matched with your experience, you know, but I think a lot of the advice when it's talking about mental toughness is, you know, stay positive or keep your concentration. It's very kind of broad comments, sort of platitudes.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're trying to do is there's actually tactics you can apply when you're, when the situation is tight or you're maybe a little bit nervous to make sure you stay consistent, to build your confidence. There's actually tactics you can apply to attack your opponent. If you know your opponent is nervous, there's certain things you can do to really twist the knife there. So that's what the fourth video is all about. And we're actually going to be talking about the Federer-Djokovic match because there's some very like kind of perfect examples and lessons that can be pulled from that third set in particular. So that video will be out on Tuesday.
Nice.
So yeah, well, that's the end of my spiel. You can talk now.
Well, it sounds like, you know, as always, not that I would expect anything less from you guys, but it sounds like you have put a lot of thought into the structure of this free course, and it really hits on a lot of different parts of strategy and even the mental toughness aspect in there, which is awesome. And in general, and tell me if your experience has been the same, it seems like these are mostly very practical things, almost things that if you would point them out to somebody who hadn't really thought about it cognitively yet, they would say, oh, well, yeah, that makes sense. Of course, you know, that seems logical. And yet a really large percentage of recreational players go about their matches completely unaware of when these things are happening, such as the, you know, transitions from different phases of play, from defense to neutral to offense, and what specific tactics they can use during those transitions to make things come out in their favor, or the adjustments and tactics, directionals, etc. Does that sound about right? That these are things that are pretty simple in nature, and yet such a large percentage of players just don't take advantage of them?
Yeah, I think to a large extent, a lot of this stuff is to use the term I said earlier, is kind of hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
But it's really about teaching you how to think when you're on a tennis court in a match. I mean, there's a thought process there, and the analogy I would use is going to college, because when you go to college, you pay a lot of money to go to college, but it's not like they're you know, they bring you into this you know, secret room, and then they reveal something to you that it doesn't exist in society in general. I mean, college, literally, you go to college, you sit in a classroom, and they're like, here's your $40 textbook, and this is what we're going to, you know, they're basically, you know, you're reading book, you know, if you're taking an English class, you're reading all these books that are available that have been written, you know, hundreds of years ago and are available on Amazon.com. But the reason college is so valuable is they say, okay, you've read this book, you've read this textbook, now we're going to, you know, show you how to think about this stuff so that you can really be a critical thinker when you go out into the real world. I mean, that's what college, at least the liberal arts education I had, teaches you how to think. And that's what we're trying to do with this Tennis Ninja course.
That's what I was supposed to learn?
That, yeah.
Oh.
Whoops.
Well, I'm not going back.
Yeah. Yeah, it typically worked. Sometimes I didn't read all the textbooks. Don't tell my parents that.
No, well, I won't tell yours if you don't tell mine.
All right, fair enough. Deal.
Nice. Well, at this point, I'm sure my listeners want to know exactly where they can go to get this stuff, because, I mean, you just spent like 10, 15 minutes rattling off all the specific things that they're going to learn. And again, this course that you've been describing thus far is free, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. These four videos are totally free.
Nice. Well, all of you listening can go check it out. And Will, what day is this course available until?
Yeah, I would. First of all, caveat, it's free. It requires an email opt-in. You just have to sign up with your
yes.
email. And the course is available through Wednesday.
Okay, so today, tomorrow we'll be releasing this show, which is Monday the 21st, so you will only have that day and two others to get inside and check out this free instruction, which I 100% recommend that you do right away. And you can check that out by going to essentialtennis.com/ninja. Essentialtennis.com/ninja. And yeah, like Will said, you're going to be asked to submit your email address. Don't worry, Will's a stand-up guy. He's not going to, you know, spam you or sell your email address to somebody else. He really values your privacy, just like I do. I wouldn't be endorsing this course unless I believe that he would treat you the right way. And you're going to get a ton of value out of this free course for sure.
Yeah, that's right on the sign-up page. It says we will not share your email with any third party. So, yeah, that's obviously absolutely key.
Now, transitioning from this free course is a more comprehensive paid course, right? The full Tennis Ninja course is going to be much, much more comprehensive and cover a lot more details having to do with tactics and strategy, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the free stuff is available through Wednesday, and then on Thursday is when we offer the full Tennis Ninja training program for those who want to continue their education. But the free stuff is a very good indication of what's going to be in the full training program. I'd say it's the 30,000 foot view of the training program. But yeah, the full course is extremely comprehensive, and there's a lot in there.
All right. So just to be clear, the free course is only available through Wednesday. Let's see, I'm looking at the date, the 23rd, and then Thursday it's no longer going to be available, correct?
Mm-hmm. What I'm going to do for people who sign up before Thursday is I'll email them download links if they want to download the videos too, so they can download them to their computer.
Nice.
So even though they won't be online, people can just hang on to them afterwards.
Okay, great. So good reason to give Will your email address. He'll give you free stuff to download. Okay, so then the full course comes out on Thursday, and I want to let everybody know who's listening to Will and I talk right now that I'm going to be offering, just like in Will's last release of his last course, which was Tennis RX, I'm going to be offering a little bit of an extra bonus for everybody who purchases through Essential Tennis. And by the way, when you purchase through the link that I send out, and I think all of you listening have got to be on my mailing list, my newsletter list. And if not, you can do that by signing up for the podcast archives. But you're going to receive an email from me on Thursday with a link to go sign up for Tennis Ninja, which is going to be an incredible course. You guys are going to get a ton of value out of that. I'm sure more than whatever Will is going to be charging for it. But on top of that, I'm going to be throwing in a big bonus as well. That's, I'm not going to give any details right now because I'm still putting together exactly what that's all going to entail. But make sure to keep your eye on your email inbox on Thursday, and you'll see full details from me at that point. So anything else to add, Will, about the free course or the full Tennis Ninja course?
Well, do I get a copy of the cool bonus you're putting together?
Yeah, maybe. I'll think about it. I'll let you know on Thursday too. All right.
You're not sure you're gonna hook me up?
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I appreciate it. I don't know what else necessarily there is to add about Tennis Ninja, the free stuff, other than it's I've been reading the comments and it's awesome to see that this stuff is already helping people. It does seem to me like a lot of the folks haven't thought about strategy as much as they could have.
Sure.
And it's just, say it again, it's just so powerful because it just takes understanding. I mean, you don't have to develop any new technique or learn how to swing the racket. And you actually, the sort of hidden benefit of the strategy stuff is when you tweak your technique, it doesn't necessarily mean your technique's going to get better. It could actually, hit, go in reverse sometimes.
That's a good point.
We've all had that experience, right? You're tinkering with your technique and then your stroke blows up.
Right.
But with strategy, it's there's none of that. There's just understanding. So the more you know about strategy, the better you're going to get. And it's sort of why there's a lot of older players who, even though they're not physically as quick, they've lost a step, but they're really wily and crafty, and they can end up giving you a lot of trouble because they just know where to put the ball and know how to really frustrate you.
So after taking this course, my listeners will be able to dominate pushers and old people. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah, nice. not sure how to answer that question. I will just say yes.
All right. That was my awkward question of the interview. I wanted to get at least one in there.
All right, good work. It was very effective.
Thanks. All right. So in wrapping up, again, only through Wednesday, you guys can go check out that free instructional course. And you can do that by going to essentialtennis.com/ninja. You'll be automatically rerouted over to Will's course. Just plug in your email address and you'll get immediate access to that free instructional video. And on Thursday, keep your eyes on your email inbox and you'll see an awesome bonus for me for those of you who sign up for Tennis Ninja through my link. And just in the interest of full disclosure, I'm an affiliate for Will's product. So if you do purchase, you're going to get that bonus that I'm going to be offering. A part of your purchase is also going to come back to help support me and EssentialTennis.com. So you're going to become a much better player. You're going to help support Fuzzy Yellow Balls and EssentialTennis.com. I believe they call that the win-win-win, right, Will?
The super cliche, yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, Will, at this point, I want to thank you very much for spending time with me and talking to me and my listeners. Thank you very much. We all appreciate it very much.
Well, thanks for having me on. I always enjoy coming on. And next year, we'll have to get you out to Indian Wells, man.
I would love that. Yeah, hopefully that works out. That'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, it's and again, everybody listening, go to Indian Wells. Pencil it in at some point. It's an awesome tournament.
Awesome. Well, Will, thanks again. Best of luck with your course launch this coming week. I hope it goes great, and I look forward to seeing what else you put out in the near future.
All right. Well, thanks, Ian.
All right, that does it for episode number 162 of the Essential Tennis Podcast. Thank you very much for joining me on today's episode and for listening. I always appreciate that. And in wrapping up, I'm going to read two comments that were left on last week's show, number 161. First of all, from Beth, I was talking about how big of a difference there is between professional players and recreational players and how not many people really understand how big of a difference it is. And she wrote and said, my gosh, you're so right on the difference in level between the pros on TV and the pros from 6 feet away and us regular folk. I just got back from 3 days at Indian Wells and the pros hitting partners are way better than anything you will ever see on your local court. And as amazing as the sub 100 pros are, when you see a top 10 player up close and personal, there is a whole new level. The pronation, acceleration into the ball from the racket drop is just crazy. Then the explosion that deforms the ball as it top spins over the net as an egg. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? To be totally honest, like back in the day when I was graduating from high school, going into college, and I got a late start in tennis. Relatively speaking, I didn't start playing until I was about 10 or 11. I know some of you out there are saying, oh, poor Ian, he didn't start till he was 10. I didn't start playing until I was 25, 30, or 40, or something like that. I mean, as far as a relatively high-level player is concerned, I started relatively late. And I always kind of thought to myself, man, you know, maybe if I started younger, like most of the pros start when they're 4, 5, 6 years old. And I used to think to myself, maybe it could have happened. Maybe I could have gone pro. But as I've seen friends and somebody I played college tennis with went out and tried, and he was a much better player than I was. I played the bottom of the lineup on my college team. He played the top my senior year. And he went and tried challengers and future events, and he didn't win at all. I actually don't think he won a match, literally. And he was out there traveling for, I don't know, about 6 or 8 months or so, traveling around playing different events in Europe and the rest of the world. Excuse me. And he had a great time, and he competed hard, and he just didn't have what it took. And he was definitely stronger than I was. And the players out there on the challenger circuit were much stronger than he was. And the players that were beating him, for the most part, I mean, they're not making the ranks of the top ATP players. And just within the ATP players, there's tons of different levels of skill and ability. So what it comes down to is the players on TV are just like they're better than human. I mean, they're like a whole nother like being of player. It's not even close to what any of us have really comprehended. And you can only really appreciate it in person and close, sitting courtside. So Beth, yeah, it's great that you got to go to Indian Wells, and Will was just talking about that in our interview as well. It's excellent to be able to get close and see what the pros are doing. It's really incredible. Okay, and then a comment from Mark. Very interesting and useful as usual, thanks. Sunday I just played against a new opponent, and this guy was hitting deeper and harder than what I'm used to. So he was pushing me back, and my reaction was to push back and hit hard and deep as well. That's good, Mark. However, since I am not used to that, I made a lot of mistakes, and many balls went long. However, based on this podcast, it seems it was still the right reflex. I was wondering how you can defend against a player that hits hard and deep, not the kind of player I usually play against. Maybe I need to start getting my strokes to the next level to learn how to hit quicker and harder without letting them go long. Yes, Mark, that's exactly right. Eventually, you're going to have to do more than just getting the ball in play. You'll have to take a ball that's hit hard and deep to you and hit hard and deep right back at your opponents. And until you're able to do that, it's going to be difficult to really make a big jump in your ground stroke game up to the next level. The big adjustment that you need to make as you start accelerating more with a confident swing is the angle of your racket face needs to close. And I replied and let Mark know this in the comments for episode number 161. But that's the big change. If you're missing long and you're making an upward, you know, topspin swing on either your backhand or forehand side and it goes too far, continue following through aggressively or confidently and just close your racket face a little bit more. And you'll see the trajectory of your shot change and it'll stay in play much more easily. So keep working hard at that, Mark. Okay. So those are a couple of comments that were left on episode number 161. Go to essentialtennis.com/podcast and leave your comments or questions about this episode, number 162. I do my best to reply to all of those, and I'll read at least one or two in the next episode of the Essential Tennis Podcast. So until then, thank you all very much for listening. I appreciate it. Take care, and good luck with your tennis.